Welcome to another exciting episode of Outside the Box with Mike and Leon. Yours truly here, Leon Oliver, alongside Sweet Lou, Michael Buseglia. How the heck are you, Mike?
I'm doing well, man. It's been a pretty vicious couple of weeks with the University of Virginia football. But you know what? We are in the bye week, so essentially I have a weekend. I'm very much looking forward to on Saturday, not in being involved in college football, but sleeping in, drinking coffee, drinking beverages for adults over 21 years of age.
Beer.
Sure, whatever is your preference. But yeah, I'm very excited for that. Now, first, Leon, we just got to say sorry. I have to apologize. And so do you. Although it's nothing really to do with us. We didn't screw up.
And neither did
our guests. And I love you, Mom. And Brad, you're a cool dude. I'm not going to go as far as love. But we were supposed to have our show, you know, with the sports trivia, Brad Savage versus my mom. But Leon, as you know, Brad got caught in a meeting.
You know, yeah. How dare he let his real job
interfere
with this unpaid podcast? How dare he? But no, he was caught in the meeting. We all know how terrible meetings are. Give him credit. I've never seen him move that fast in my entire life as he tried to run into the studio and said he was ready. But by that point, we'd reached a cutoff time. So we're going to table that. We'll have that for you next week. The epic sports matchup featuring Brad Savage from 106.1 The Corner taking on Michael Buseglia's mom.
Yeah. Mama Besegs. To give an example of how Brad Savage's sports knowledge is bad, I asked him the other day, who won the World Series last year?
Yeah.
Do you know the answer?
It's the Yankees.
He did not know. He had no clue who won the World Series
really?
Last year.
Not even a shot in the dark. What did he say, the Cubs or something?
I don't remember who his answer was. It wasn't the Cubs, but it was somebody like the White Sox or the someone that's good one every 10 years kind of thing. Like a Met type team.
Yeah. Wow.
But you should have seen Brad Savage, by the way. He's trying to go to the gym.
Yeah.
And he was in his workout clothes. He had these teal shorts on, some 106.1 The Corner shirt because he's the program director.
Yeah.
He had his shoes, his like athletic sneakers. He then had like light brown socks on that he wore from, I don't know, that you would wear for a suit. And they were 3/4 of the way up his legs. He looked like an idiot. I love you, Brad, but you look like a fool.
He's trying to go with the Keith Van Horn look with the high socks.
But you should not be wearing dress socks with your shoes that you use to run in the gym.
Well, that's okay, because sometimes the very few occasions where I'm forced to dress up, I forget dress socks. And
I've done that before. You get blisters on your ankles.
Well, I'll do that, or I will go with a pair of like the black Nike socks, like the ankle socks, and
right.
I'll rock those under that. So case in point. One of my best friends got married. I was at his wedding. I forgot my dress socks. I was rocking black Nike socks.
Yeah.
That day. No one knew. See?
See, no, but if you had a dance and you pulled your pants up a little bit, they would see your leg. The socks should go up, you know, like at least 6 to 7 inches.
Yeah. I don't know. Well,
you should mention the emails.
Oh, yes.
Get people involved. Tell them all this information. Well, and our obnoxiously long email address, which you need to fix.
Which I've actually shortened. Thank you very, very much. If you want to email Outside the Box with Mike and Leon at gmail.com.
Gmail. I'm having some Gmail.
You can do that. But we also now have the shorter OTB.
You down with OTB?
So it's OTB with Mike and Leon at gmail.com. Both accounts are synced up. So whether you send it to Outside the Box with Mike and Leon at gmail.com or OTB, with Mike and Leon at gmail.com. They'll go to the same place. We'll get them. Also, make sure to check out the show on Twitter, OTB Mike Leon on Twitter, and also on Facebook. The Facebook presence, Mike, has been really, really just outrageous.
Facebook's cool. People are really representing us.
Over like 100 and some likes, and it's pretty cool to see all the people starting to dig it on Facebook. Check it out on Facebook at Outside the Box with Mike and Leon.
Now, I haven't stalked the Facebook page well enough, but have you noticed that there's anybody on there that's not friends of one of us that actually just found it? That would be cool.
I noticed there were a few people on there that were friends of people that I knew in college.
Right.
But they weren't on my friends list. Like, we went to school together at Wesleyan, and we were kind of like associates, but never like close enough to call each other friends.
Sure.
And I noticed that some of them are on there, so that's pretty cool. So, definitely, I appreciate, you know, people spreading the word and growing this thing. We're trying to get it bigger. The website will be coming along very soon.
We'll
have that up. We're just trying to provide all this information for you.
Now, I've seen some of these website models, and we have to not be cheap and spend $80. That's divided by two, Leon. That's $40 for you. We need to each spend $40 and put a website together, because the website looks cool and websites people like. Because when they're at work, nobody does work. They go on the internet. That's why people like the Facebook so much.
Oh, without a doubt.
We need to provide that information.
We'll have that up there for you, and you will have a nice little fun website soon where you can go and waste all your boss's time and money.
Now, that's not nice.
Well, hey, I mean, what else do you do at work?
Fair point. Now, also on the website, the mini one that we have going now, it's okay. It's not cool, but it has our NFL picks. You went 8-8. I went 10-6 because you overthink this stuff. Just go with your gut.
I'm very disappointed in my performance.
That's 8-8 in an NFL pick'em. That is brutal.
I'm very disappointed.
That's like Michael Strahan on Fox stuff.
But I will say the first week of the season is the hardest week.
That's true.
The big game season, basing everything
off last year.
Last year. And I think this week things will get a little bit better, and we'll have those picks up. If you want to see the temporary website that we have right now, it's outside the box with Mike and Leon .wordpress.com. I know it is very long.
We'll figure that. That's what she said. I'll have to find a That's What She Said sounder. Oh, I just had an idea. We'll talk about it on the air. This is Talking Shop. Oh, we'll have a That's What She Said sounder. And then every time you say something like that, we'll play it. Like, this is what it would sound like. Ready? Tell me if this works.
That works.
All right, that's what a sounder sounds like. Here's another one.
Those are buzzers.
And here's about your life.
Epic fail.
Time to see you, Leon. So we'll do stuff like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. So, Mike, we're sitting here, and we got a little bit of a late start on this podcast this morning because there's been some construction. What are they, building a tower, taking down a tower?
No. The cell phone reception here in the building, if you have an AT&T phone,
is
worthless. It's worthless. Like, I have AT&T as my provider. I go in the building, and it vanishes. I have figured out spots in the building, like here in the network. In this studio, I found a spot that it's good for, which I need. I need service during these football games, because if somebody calls and I don't answer it, I look like a dummy.
You need to be able to text and to order Chinese food and stuff like that, too.
Yeah, so I can have stomach problems. We can speak about me going to the bathroom during these games.
Oh,
it is brutal. I'm not talking about that stuff. No, I'm just saying I get like a minute, and I have Dave Kane going, "Hey, Brissex, how much time is there?" Like, Dave, I gotta take a piss.
Well, real quick side tangent before we get back to that cell phone thing. I was watching NFL Red Zone this past weekend, the Red Zone channel. They show all the touchdowns. It made me think of, if this guy is sitting in the studio literally from 1 o'clock when the game starts until whenever that last 4 o'clock game finishes, when does he go to the bathroom?
You don't think the NFL Network has more than one guy?
No. It's the Red Zone channel has one guy. It's Scott Hansen. And he sits in the studio the entire time, and he takes you around. So if the 49ers are in the red zone...
Well, maybe when a team goes on the game, he goes to the potty. You saying he's in there the whole time?
He's in there the whole time. And then when, like, if the 49ers get into the red zone, and they're in the huddle, and, like, the Colts are about to kick a field goal, he'll, like, let's go double box or action right now. Let's see the Colts kick a field goal.
Oh, I don't know.
When does he go? Maybe he has, like, some sort of, like...
He pees his pants.
Catenator setup.
Maybe.
Catheter setup.
That'd be interesting to find out.
I just said catenator. I don't think that's a word.
So there are no commercials during this whole time?
No commercials during the Red Zone.
I don't know the answer.
I don't know. But anyway, we're getting a tower built or whatever.
We're getting a tower built because it sucks in here. So they're putting up a tower directly outside the studio, and it sounded like someone took a hammer and decided, hey, do you want your head to feel a hammer for an hour? So we're taking a little start. That was brutal, Leon.
It was worse than a hammer. It literally sounded like there were like mines going off, like right outside the wall here. You could feel the ground in this studio. You could feel like the floor shake. The monitors were shaking. Literally, like 3 feet on the other side of this wall, there's like a heavy construction project going on. And when you first come into the facilities here, you can see it. There's like a, I don't know, big construction equipment. I don't know what that stuff is called.
And
there's guys in hard hats and work permit signs and all this stuff. You know that something legit is going on here. So you go in, And then, you know, right by the exit where you can exit out into all that wonderful world of construction, we have a sign taped to the entrance that says, do not use this exit. Now, how stupid of a person would you have to be to come in here? And there's only a couple of ways in here. And if you work here, you know what's going on. You see this stuff out front. How stupid of a person would you have to be to come in that way, to come in another entrance, and then decide to go out of the entrance that all the construction is going on?
Twofold. It's radio, so people are pretty stupid.
That's true.
Second, it's probably a corporate ordeal, because if they don't put the sign there, you walk out, you trip, your head hits a rock, you bleed all over the place, EMTs come, they get you to the hospital, you need 107 stitches, you sue the company because you said, I didn't see a sign there, and I walked out and fell, you'd be in a lot of trouble. They'd be in a lot of trouble, and that's
so
why there's a sign.
Are you saying that I should get an intern to take that sign down?
Yes.
And then come back like an hour later and walk through that entrance? But I don't know. I got a feeling if I take a whacking by some piece of construction equipment that I'm not going to survive. And right now someone is marveling at the lovely vandalism.
No. You added, and by the way, your handwriting is worse than a second grader. I mean, that is some of the worst handwriting I've ever seen.
I take pride in it.
You shouldn't. What did you write? I can't see the sign from here.
Well, under the obvious sign of do not use this exit, I taped up, or you will die.
But it's hard to read. Once you can get through the handwriting, yes, you did tape up, or you will die.
I'm probably going to get pink slips shortly.
Okay. Yeah, well, now that everybody knows it was you.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you going
to
do?
Well, I'm just telling you, that's why they have to put that stuff there, to cover their ass.
But seriously, like, where does common sense come into play? I feel like you have to have a sign for everything today. Like, you know, the coffee, they get the little wrappers, careful, hot. It's coffee. It's supposed to be hot.
You saw the episode of Seinfeld where Kramer puts the pot of coffee
he's like trying to tuck in his pants.
Yeah,
who
puts hot coffee in the pants? You got stuff there you don't need to have hot coffee on. But he's going to then sue the coffee company. It's all to cover yourself.
But, I mean, it's just like, you see the Surgeon General's warnings on like the side of like cigarettes. And it's like, you know, blah, 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 it may give you cancer. No.
But it's the
we know that. If you smoke for 50 years, there's a good chance you're going to get cancer.
You're not looking at it with the corporate level of you need to cover yourself. You have to do that. If they don't put a sign there and you walk out there, you could sue them.
Yeah, but why would I do that? I brought that upon myself.
Why would you? Because that's what people do. Maybe you've seen bank rob. You've seen people steal people's. Go in people's houses, try to go in through the chimney and steal things, break their legs, and then sue the people who live in the house for saying it wasn't a safe entrance. People do crazy stuff.
How messed up, by the way, are the laws like that? That you can break into my home, you can come down my chimney, you can injure yourself, and you can sue me while you have my TV under your arm trying to get out of here.
Well, it's better than the alternative, I suppose, of communism and other societies. No, I know. There's a lot of screwed up.
That's an economic condition. But the fact that you can break into my home and then sue me because you got injured breaking into my home and stealing my stuff.
That's my point. That's why you need these signs or you will die. I mean, people need to know that if you walk out that door, thanks, Leon, for mentioning that. Now people know. And by the way, you had some of the sales ladies hooting and hollering. Did you hear that?
Really?
Laughing at your sign.
Oh, nice.
This is going to be your moment here at the station.
This is my big moment.
It's better than anything else you've ever done. You wrote a sign that says, or you will die.
In a Che Guevara-esque poster on the side of the wall. But no, I mean, I feel like we're using this stuff these days in place of common sense. At what point did you have to put a sign by train tracks, do not stand here between 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock or you will die? I don't understand. It's common sense. You know that if you camp out on train tracks, you're going to get hit by a train.
Well, what about if somebody came in here at 6 in the morning, the early shift, they've been back in their office, and it's time for lunch, and they stroll outside, they didn't know?
There's no way that you wouldn't know. This whole building, which was built in 1942.
To cover yourself.
This whole building was shaking. It felt like Kosovo, Mike. It felt like we were in the middle of a war zone.
Well, they need to be careful. You're right. Clearly, you're right. If you're walking out this door, you're a moron. But you need to cover yourself. You have to have something there so people know, just in case. What happens if you forget? We have some. What about if Callahan strolled in here? Chris Callahan, one of the news people, great guy. We need to interview him.
117 years old.
Because he is. We need to interview him.
Bears a striking
what happens if he
resemblance.
Forgot and he goes running outside?
He bears a striking resemblance to Cowboys coach Wade Phillips.
He does. It's bizarre.
Yeah, very bizarre. But I don't even think he would do that, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's ridiculous. I think you had to have signs for all this stuff and what you can sue for. And speaking of suing, what's the big story in sports right now?
The reporter for the New York Jets.
Yeah, Inez Sainz or Sainz, whatever her name is. She's a reporter for the television network Azteca down in Mexico. And I don't know if you're familiar with Azteca and like what they do, but you remember... It was like 2008 when the Pats went to the Super Bowl and
played the Giants.
Yeah, and
sure.
That reporter proposed to Tom Brady, like jokingly.
Yes, I do remember that now.
That was a Azteca television reporter. So they
hire attractive women.
Oh, they almost
is that their deal?
I mean, they almost exclusively do. I mean, come on, let's be frank here. Turn on the television, you turn to Fox News, you see very attractive women on there. You see very attractive women on CNN, MSNBC. They know what they're doing.
They want you to stay on the station.
Know some stuff, and you're very attractive. Chances are you're going to do very well in the television.
So you're set,
pretty much.
I mean, you got it
with a face like this.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's the same thing with sports. I'm not trying to discredit, you know, people like Aaron Andrews or the new one on ESPN, Jim Brown, or people like that. But if you know some stuff, if you know what you're talking about sports, and you're very attractive, you're going to go far. That's just the way it is. People
sure.
want to capture the male audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this woman, she shows up. Have you seen some of the outfits that she's worn when she's covering stuff?
I'm Google imaging it now. I don't know what's what, but potentially yes.
I mean, I've seen photos where she's
they're not
like,
reporter clothes. They're going out to get my groove thing on at the club clothes.
There was a photo I saw of her. She was at a Spurs game, and she had like a see-through shirt on. You can see like her bra and everything under that,
right?
And like some skin tight pants. Like you would literally, I think, have to cut these off. And she's at a Spurs game as a reporter. And could you imagine if a guy showed up, you know, like underdressed or like a reporter or something like that? It would be.
Let's imagine you showing up in some short shorts. How about a thong?
That's disgusting.
You're rolling up. You got your tank top on. Yeah, I know what you mean because it's a woman that changes the ball game.
Yeah, so
the dynamics of the situation.
Clearly, people aren't exactly taking her 100% professional because she's not showing up dressed like a professional.
Right, right.
Well, she goes to the cover the Jets, and apparently they were having practice. They had the wide receivers get overthrown in her vicinity so they could kind of be near her and flirt with her a little bit. And then
right.
she went into the locker room. And apparently in the locker room, she started receiving catcalls and harassing comments. And Chris Jenkins, the defensive tackle who is now out for the year with a knee injury, yelled, you know, this is our locker room and guys are looking at her and all this stuff. And she said she wasn't underdressed for that. There's a photo that's been circulating the internet of her in a very tight pair of blue jeans and a very tight white shirt. And she says that that's essentially what she had on. Now, here's my problem with the whole thing. And there's a whole thing about women being in locker rooms and should they be there? Should men be in women's locker rooms? Should women be in...
Because there's dudes walking around naked.
Yeah, and should men be in women's locker
rooms? Because there's ladies walking around naked.
And, you know, that's a whole thing we can get into, but... The fact is, there are photos of her, and she's on, like, athlete's shoulders and stuff. When have you ever seen, like, Aaron Andrews on the athlete's shoulder?
No, she's been professional about that.
Yeah, I mean, she's been
absolutely
professional, so she's less than credible. And the fact that she's suing, Mike, she's suing for money. If she was harassed, why is she not pressing criminal charges?
I don't know, because she wants money.
And, well, yesterday, adding to this big firestorm, was Redskins running back Clinton Portis. He went on sports radio station up in Washington, D.C. yesterday, and he had this to say about women in the locker room.
You put women reporters in the locker room in position to see guys walking around naked, and you know, you sit in the locker room with 53 guys, and all of a sudden you see a nice woman in the locker room. I think men ain't going to tend to turn and look and want to say something to that woman. You know, I think for the woman, I think they make it so much you can't interact, or you can't be involved with with athletes. You can't talk to these guys. You can't interact with these guys. And I mean, you put a woman, you give her a choice of 53 athletes. Somebody got to be appealing to her. You know, somebody got to spark her interest, or she gonna want somebody. You know, I don't know what kind of woman wants. If you get to go and look at 53 man packages and you just sitting here saying, like, oh, none of this is attractive to me. You know, I know you're doing a job, but at the same time, the same way I'm going to cut my eye if I see somebody worth talking to, I'm sure they do the same thing.
Leon, first off, Clinton Portis is a moron. We've known that for a couple of years. When Michael Vick, I'm not defending what she did, and I'm not defending what the Jets did, but yeah. Clinton Portis is an idiot.
Yeah.
You remember a few years back when Michael Vick got in trouble for dog fighting. What did Clinton say?
I forget the exact
quote. It's his dogs. He can do what he wants.
He pretty much was like, it's his dogs. He can do what he wants. He was acting like it wasn't a big deal.
Clinton Portis is your typical athlete that, because he's an athlete, thinks he can run his mouth with whatever topic comes up, and he ran his mouth. And there is some validity to the fact that, yes, you put her in her outfits in a locker room full of New York football Jets who are half naked.
Well, half naked. I mean, some of them are naked.
They've got stuff hanging around. You are. Sorry.
There's.
I really embarrassed you there. I apologize.
Football is an aggressive game. It's an aggressive sport. Football players are aggressive by nature. There's a lot of testosterone.
That's no excuse to be a jerk, though.
No, there's no excuse to be a jerk. Whatever they said to her that was inappropriate and out of line should not have been said.
Correct.
But that being said, I'm not necessarily saying boys will be boys, but if you put a woman, especially an attractive woman, especially a suggestively dressed attractive woman, in a locker room full of 53 football players, there's going to be something happening. That's like tossing meat in with the lions. Something is going to happen.
I've been thinking about it. I sort of compare it to this. There's a fire going on in somebody's house. This man or woman is going into the house. They're wearing a burn suit. Now, the burn suit says 98% effective, 2% you might get burns. She goes in to the fire with the burn suit, comes out, and there's a few burns on yourself. Yes, you were wearing the burn suit. This is probably making no sense, by the way.
No,
I'm confusing myself.
She got burned
even though she was wearing the protective suit. You shouldn't be that surprised.
I mean, and the fact that there were other female reporters apparently in the locker room, they were not subjected to this at that time. You know what? Because they were dressed professionally. There's not photos of them being carried on their shoulder on the shoulders of players and stuff. They're not. They carry themselves in a different manner. And I'm not saying that women don't have a place in the locker room or women don't. Some of my favorite sports reporters are female sports reporters. I follow several of them on Twitter because they give good insight.
The point is, when they're using their bodies, and I'm serious, when they're using their bodies and their beauty and their looks to get a heads up on people, okay, you're going to do that. But don't take it to the point where you're in the locker room, there's guys hanging around. I sort of blame both of them.
Yeah, I mean,
they're both at fault.
She, without a doubt, the Jets players are at fault for whatever they said that was out of line. It doesn't matter, you know, what she looked like. You don't say those things, whatever they
sure.
said, you know.
Sure.
But at the same time, she's not at fault, too. She's a former Miss Universe contestant or pageant person or whatever. She's made a career, and she's posted pictures on Twitter. Oh, this is kind of what I was wearing. You look at the rest of those pictures she's posted on Twitter, they're all like bikini shots and scantily clad shots and this and that. You don't see Pam Oliver doing that. You don't see Bonnie Bernstein. You don't see Aaron Andrews. They carry themselves differently because they're
It is. What is it? News Azteca? What is it?
Yeah, like News Azteca is like a Mexican station or whatever. But they carry themselves differently. It's a different manner that they carry themselves professionally. And she doesn't have that. And they didn't take her seriously as a journalist. And what's been interesting has been the amount of women, Mike, that have been calling sports talk shows and taking the side of, not necessarily taking the side of the Jets players, but they've been saying that what they did was wrong, but she shouldn't have been there dressed like that. And then some people started to open the can of worms, well, should they even be in the locker room? I, for one, I've never been a professional athlete, obviously. I don't want anyone in the locker room, man or woman.
Now that brings up an interesting point we can move on to this topic as well. There's a different era in life. Have you ever been to a gym when you're gone to a sports gym or something?
Yeah.
Older men change in front of each other. They are okay with seeing each other naked. They do that. I personally, I am not a fan. When I change, I want to be by myself. I want to be covered. I want to be hidden. I go into the locker room on the side. I change in the bathroom. Nobody's seeing Mikey B but Mikey B, okay? I have a problem with it personally. Now, if that's the way it is in culture of sports, because you have 53 dudes in a locker room and you have trainers and athletic staff, etc., probably not possible. That is what it is. I would not want a woman reporter in there. Absolutely not. Maybe if I was an NFL player, my mind psyche would be different. But I'm like, B, I don't want that. I don't think you would either.
I don't want anyone in there. I mean, like, could you imagine walking up to a player and, you know, I haven't been in a locker room setting yet. Well, I've been in a locker room following Virginia games, not like in the locker room as guys are getting dressed right. And stuff like that. But I mean, like, I couldn't imagine walking up to a guy that's sitting there. He's got nothing but a towel on. He's sitting in a chair and then asking him about, you know, what about that stop on 3rd and 1 late in the fourth quarter?
Also, Leon, with Facebook and Twitter and camera phones, I mean, that would make me nervous the whole time. I'd be sitting there paranoid the whole time that somebody has got a camera in there and they're going to expose me.
You bring up a fantastic point.
Of course I do.
Because, I mean, less people that are in there, they're credentialed, they're journalists and stuff like that, but some people use their iPhones as their recorders during press conferences and stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, you could easily pull up, like, the camera application, put the phone to sleep, and you're, like, recording, and
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more.
I mean, obviously, you would lose your job if that got out. If someone did that, you would certainly lose your job and pretty much be blackballed in this industry. But, I mean, yeah, you bring up an interesting can of worms there. And here's the thing. Clinton Portis, while what he said was stupid, he kind of has a point. He kind of has a small point. I'm sorry, but at some point, I think primal just instincts take over. She's a woman in a locker room with 53 guys. And we're not talking about guys that look like me. We're talking about NFL players. We're talking about, you know, guys that are in elite specimens. She's not going to look at some point. And on the flip side, if a man was in a locker room, apparently men can go in WNBA locker rooms. Why would they? Because you had to cover the WNBA. But apparently men can go in WNBA locker rooms. So you're telling me that, like, who's the cute one? She turned on the U.S. She should play for Russia.
Becky Hammon?
Yeah. So you're telling
me I knew that way too quick.
Yeah, you did.
I knew that way too quick.
So, I mean, like, if a male reporter was in there and there's a bunch of, like, half-naked WNBA players.
Oh, the whole situation is messed up. She should not be in there.
I mean,
this woman should not be covering the Jets. A woman going into a locker room half naked wearing scandalous clothing that you wear to pick up men at clubs. Literally, this is outfits that you would wear at a nightclub. Should not be in the locker room of 53, you said it, primal NFL players. The whole situation is not a good idea. I'm sure the Jets will pay for it. Because what they did was wrong. What she did was wrong.
And the thing is, she's
going to need Tony Dungy in the locker room to settle this.
She's going to get famous off of this. You see this? She's been on, like, CNN. She's been on all this different stuff. I guarantee you we'll see this woman on, if not ESPN, like ESPN, what is it, the Spanish version, ESPN
Deportes. Yeah. ESPN Deportes.
Trust me, she won't be with Azteca for long. This is going to be a springboard for her career. And it's all the more reason, if she was harassed, why is she seeking financial compensation and doing all these TV interviews and stuff? And not pressing criminal charges if she was really harassed.
We're going to take a break when we come back. Bandwagon fans, talking about the NFL over the weekend, I have a funny story about that. You sent me a text, which then spurred me to look online at a very funny picture. Also, our NFL picks, we'll put them in. Let's open up the email as well, Leon. If you want to go up against us with your picks, send them in. If you win, I'll send you a free ice cream gift certificate.
Ooh, ice cream.
Yeah, probably this is illegal, but I have free ice cream gift certificates. If you beat Leon or myself, you get one. What's the email again, Leon?
It's OTB with Mike and Leon at gmail.com. Or you can send it, if you want to type it all out, outside the box with Mike and Leon at gmail.com.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets. I don't know. I
suck.
We'll be back. And welcome back to Outside the Box with Mike and Leon. Part 2 here on your Wednesday afternoon. Hope you're all doing well today. They call me Briseg. They call him Leon Oliver. We just had a rousing rendition, conversation about the JETS Jets and everything swirling around there. We will get to our NFL picks in just a moment, but first, bandwagon fans, bro. I hate them. They drive me crazy. They liked Michael Jordan. They liked Kobe Bryant on the NBA side of things. They love Derek Jeter. No one cares about hockey as much, so you really don't have bandwagon hockey fans.
You do.
You see
a lot more caps and pin stuff now than you did a few years ago.
My point is, you don't see somebody in outside of the area. You might have someone that becomes a fan in that area, but it's not as a poser a sport. Hockey fans, like, there are the least amount of hockey fans in this country, but the ones that are the fans, I would say, are the most true.
I don't know. The Caps now are starting to become one of those bandwagon franchises. When the Caps go on the road, you start seeing red number 8 jerseys in places like Atlanta and Nashville and Florida. They did a Caps Lightning game toward the end of last year, and there were a ton of red number 8 jerseys there. And because Ovechkin is a star player, he's one of the faces of the league,
right,
along with Sidney Crosby.
But I'm just saying, the hockey fan is way more hardcore about his team. You're the Ottawa Senators. You love the Ottawa Senators. That's your thing.
Yeah. I'll see that.
You see somebody in the more casual fans for the other sports.
Yeah, you definitely see that. And it just drives me nuts. And I think what spurned this conversation was Sunday night, Redskins Cowboys. Well, Mike, who happened to be before the game on the Cowboys sideline?
Your boy LeBron James.
Oh, LBJ.
Yeah, he has become enemy number one of the media and the human race.
On the Cowboys sideline. And then apparently he was in a suite, but apparently the tickets he got was from the Redskins. He went to the Redskins to get tickets. He's a Cowboys fan, big Cowboy fan, apparently. Where did LeBron grow up, Michael?
Cleveland. Well, or Akron.
Akron.
You'd be a Browns fan, I would imagine.
He grew up in Akron, and he's about the same age as us. And
well,
when we were, you know, back in the mid-90s and stuff, when you first started paying attention to sports, who was good in football? The Cowboys. It was a bandwagon team. Remember, everyone at school had the Cowboys shirts and the Cowboys jackets.
Sure.
And stuff?
Well, look at it this way. If you're, be thankful that for himself, I guess, that he's a Cowboys fan and not a Steelers fan, because then the people in Cleveland might hate him more.
But so he's a Cowboys fan, and then the day after, you know, LeBron being LeBron, he had to take a picture to show that he was at Union Station catching the Amtrak to go to New York. And he was going to go to Yankee Stadium because he's a Yankee fan.
Oh, he's the worst. The worst.
And he plays for the Heat now, and that's like the new bandwagon team. Usually it's Cowboys, Yankees, Lakers. If you find a person that likes Cowboys, Yankees, and the Lakers, you should immediately punch them in the face because they're a bandwagon fan.
Corey Alexander, UVA Athletics, is a Cowboys and Yankees fan.
Where did he grow up?
I think Virginia, right?
That's embarrassing. He should be embarrassed of himself.
That's who he likes.
If you live in Virginia, you have no reason being a Cowboys fan. If you live in Virginia, you have no reason being a Steelers fan or a Ravens fan. Well, maybe a Ravens fan. Everyone goes, oh, well, my grandfather once worked 3 days in a steel mill. That's why how I grew up in Chesapeake, and I'm a Steelers fan.
Now, super fans. We have a few... You tell the story. I want to hear you say it.
Okay.
I want to enjoy you say it.
Well, a roommate that we used to have.
Yeah.
Not a big traditional sports guy. Big, you know, extreme sports guy, if you want to call those sports.
You mean the non-sports?
Yeah, the, you know, what potheads do. They skateboard.
That is not a sport. You know what that is?
What?
That is crap.
Yeah, it's skateboarding and BMX and all that stuff. Well, guys that couldn't make their baseball teams in high school. But... So he's not a big traditional sports guy. And, you know, a few years ago, before football season started, you know, wasn't really following football. And I think I remember him
Skins
saying
fan.
That he was a very casual Skins fan.
Very casual Skins fan.
About week 6 or 7, somewhere around there, all of a sudden decides, I'm a Steelers fan.
Now, how can you just make that proclamation? How does that work?
Because they're winning.
Or because the UVA tight end, Heath Miller, is a Steeler.
Yeah, but I mean...
You can't do that.
I like Heath Miller. When I see the Steelers play, I
right, you're not rooting for them.
To make catches, but
You're not a Steeler fan.
That, yeah, I don't care. The Texans are playing the Redskins Sunday. I want Matt Schaub to have a decent day, but I want the Skins to win.
Sure, sure. But he just said, you know what? I want to be a Steeler fan today.
So we start seeing Heath Miller garb show up, just jerseys and stuff. And
Facebook post, tweet post.
Yeah, and of course.
Facebook post, tweet post.
Of course this
Facebook
is a-
post, sorry. Tweet post.
Sounds like an ad for that movie, Social Network. So, of course, the Steelers end up winning the Super Bowl. That year.
That was the
That was the most insufferable thing I think I've ever experienced.
Because he was a Steeler
fan. In my entire life. Yeah, because you just jump on.
It was fun to see you in pain, though. Not going to lie.
Because there are certain groups of fans that really outrage me the most, like in terms of bandwagon fans. And there's nothing worse, in my opinion. Steeler fans are hardcore. And I know we got people in Pittsburgh that listen to the show. And that's great. Steeler fans are hardcore. But you people in Pittsburgh, you live there. That's your team. That's awesome. You live in Virginia, you have no reason. You have no reason to be a Steeler fan unless you moved from there. Or I'll even listen to, you know, your family grew up there. But you know what? Grandpappy better have taken you to a few games. You could have never set foot in Three Rivers and then say that you're a Steelers fan. It just doesn't count.
I think if you were to ask this young man, can you name the Three Rivers, he would probably have a hard time.
I think if you ask this man who Joe Green, Terry Bradshaw, and Lynn Swan are, he wouldn't know. Franco Harris, he wouldn't know.
Probably not. So this past Sunday, the Steelers had their opening game, correct?
Yes.
They
played the Falcons.
They played the Falcons
big game.
In Pittsburgh.
Big game. You don't have Ben.
No Ben Roethlisberger.
It's a new season. How are they going to perform?
What's the defense going to be like?
Yeah, you know, can they run the ball?
Will Antoine Randall show up? He's a Steeler again, right?
Yeah, or really just fair catch punts like he did in Washington, which he pretty much did. So there's lots of stuff. There's no reason why you wouldn't be watching your team. And it wasn't the fact that you couldn't pick up the game in this area. The Fox affiliate was originally going to show the Giants game. Then they decided to show the Steeler game.
The Steeler game was on. The Fox Charlottesville.
Yes.
Wahoo.
Wahoo. Show the Steeler game.
Yes.
He's in a polo match.
Epic fail.
That's great. He's in a polo match. He takes a picture. Classing up on the weekends. And he's at a polo match. The Steelers are playing. That's your team.
Polo, by the way, is a fantastic sport. What is that with horses?
You lived in Charlottesville too long.
Is that with horses? I don't know. I'm saying I know a polo
shirt.
That's
the thing with the guys ride the horses. And they got like the long mallet looking thing and they hit the ball.
I would say there is nothing in this world that would make me go to a polo match over a Sunday of football. Nothing. I don't know how in your right mind you could go to a polo match on a Sunday of your opening day of the NFL. If you're not an NFL fan, you still watch the NFL over polo. But if you're a Steelers fan, let me ask you, ask the Steelers fan, and if you're a Steelers fan, email us. Would you ever in your right mind pick going to a polo match and sipping on white Zinfandels and Zimas?
And some cheese.
And I'm, you know, if that's your food, that's your food. But pick it over opening day. Could you imagine a real fan saying that?
No, it's a joke.
It wouldn't happen.
It's laughable. And look, I get that maybe things come up. You can't watch every game.
Sure.
I'm a Nats fan. Am I going to watch all 162 games this year? No way in heck. But if the Nats are on that night, yeah, I'm going to try to watch it. Or if there's something else I want to watch, I'll try to watch a few innings and I'll, you know, follow my computer or something. I don't expect everyone to be like that, and especially in sports.
Football's different because there's 16 games. You know generally when it's going to be.
Exactly. You know when it's going to be. It's a Sunday. It only happens 16 times. It's not basketball where you have 82.
It's not hockey football.
Where you have 82. Where you have baseball where it's 162. This happens 16 times a year.
Yeah.
This is baseball is America's pastime, but football is America's passion.
Right.
And that's your team. And that's one of the most historic franchises in the league. You're watching polo.
Epic fail.
I don't know what else to say.
I couldn't believe it. And
That's pretty funny.
I couldn't believe it. But why do you think that today we see more? I feel like there's more bandwagon fans today than there were when we were
always
up.
They've always been here. You just have Facebook now and you see it more. No, they've always been here.
I think because of the advances in technology.
Exactly. They've always been here.
Let's say the Seahawks get really good this year, and they win the Super Bowl, hypothetically speaking. Let's say the Seahawks win the Super Bowl. You know that when you walk around Charlottesville at some point after that, you're going to start seeing Seahawks jerseys.
I already have mine. I already bought it. I already bought it after the win over San Francisco last weekend. I already have it in my closet.
I feel that in this age that we live in now, where people have, you know, DirecTV, Sunday Ticket, or games are being streamed online, and this
you
and
can
that,
now put your fantasy roster on your TV as you're watching,
which is the stupidest thing I've ever
seen
awesome.
In
my life.
Well, it takes away from it. It shows that you don't really care about the game, but it's still cool.
The fact that you can actually see a team like that now and get on the bandwagon, whereas before. The Saints made that run last year. We normally wouldn't have seen Saints games in this area.
Sure.
But now there's people. I saw a guy the other day wearing a Drew Brees jersey. I wanted to walk up to him so bad and be like, so how's the lower ninth ward recovering? He's never been to New Orleans.
You don't know. You have to talk to the guy first. No. At least talk to the man first. Maybe now you recognize the Saints jersey because they did win. Before it would just been an afterthought in your head. You may be wrong.
No, there are.
You don't know.
There are
at least talk to the guy. I'm saying give him a chance. Yes, the percentage is probably up, but he could actually be a real Saints fan. Your old roommate, maybe he's really a huge Steelers fan, and he's been joking and tricking us with the polo match stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm going to comprise a Steelers fan list of questions to send to him.
I think that's a fantastic idea, and you can send us some as well in here. I'm just plugging the email nonstop, or post it on Facebook.
You're a shilling boy.
Hey, Leon, I start to sense that the sounds are picking up again. In the background, like it's going to get going with the construction, so we should get our NFL picks in before it becomes a nightmare.
Sounds good.
All right, here, Buffalo and Green Bay. Remember, I was 10-6 last week. You were 8-8. You can email us your picks as well. Win free ice cream. Buffalo at Green Bay. No Ryan Grant.
No Ryan Grant for the pack.
Doesn't matter.
I'm still going to go Green Bay.
All right, I'll take Green Bay as well. I'll go first with this one. Miami at Minnesota. I'll take Minnesota.
Taking the Dolphins on the road. Vikings are still banged up.
Cleveland home versus Kansas City. Oof. Tough.
So is my guy?
Yeah, I'm
always confused with these things. Romeo Crennel, I think, shuts out his old team. The Chiefs can play defense now. Where'd that come from?
I picked the Chiefs also.
I'm going with the Chiefs.
But I do love how you go into these diatribes, and last week you were 8-8.
Well, you know, I'm normally like 95%.
So. Chicago at Dallas. I go first, Dallas.
I'm taking the Cowboys at home here.
Arizona at the ATL represent.
Wow, Jermaine Dupri?
Maybe.
The Cardinals, I think, are going to be a very disappointing team this year without Kurt Warner. I like the Falcons to bounce back here in week two.
I do, too. I'll take Atlanta. Tampa Bay at Carolina.
It's me again.
Carolina.
Okay. And probably one of the more boring games.
In sports history.
This is going to be like
I'd pick it over polo.
This is going to be like a 12-6 game. Both teams have no quarterback play. I'm going to take the Panthers in their rushing attack.
Philly at Detroit. Sort of an interesting game all of a sudden.
Mike Vick getting a start, allegedly, for the Eagles right now.
Who do you like?
Detroit, you got to feel so bad for them, what happened to them last week. But I like Mike Vick to move the ball up and down the field for Philadelphia.
I'll take Philly. Baltimore at Cincinnati. This is a good one. I'm going to go with the Ravens on the road. I like what I saw with Flacco and Anquan Boldin. They'll be playing a defense not quite as good as the Jets. I think they get a road win. I actually gave some analysis.
The Bengals look downright terrible against the Pats this past week. Really disappointed me. But Baltimore, unquestionably best defensive team in the league. I think they make T.O. and Ocho Cinco unhappy again for week two. I like the Ravens.
Pittsburgh at Tennessee.
Probably the game of the week there.
Yeah, probably. One of them. Mm. Go ahead.
You know,
it's tough.
It's tough. I mean, that's a tough one. It's almost a coin flip in my mind. I'm going to go Tennessee at home. I don't think Chris Johnson gets to 100 yards on that Steeler defense, though.
Tennessee at home. I'll take Tennessee. Seattle at Denver.
Suddenly the Seahawks can play football, huh?
I'm going Broncos. You got to do more than 1 week before you can make those kind of.
I'm going Broncos at home as well.
Although the Broncos could end up being awful this year.
Wait, is that game in Denver?
In Denver.
Yeah, I'm going Broncos.
St. Louis, Oakland.
Wow. Jeez,
Oakland.
That's awful. I'm going to go with the Raiders here. I think Jason Campbell bounces back, has a better week this week.
Another tough game to pick. Houston at Washington.
As good as the Redskins defense looked last week, the offense at times was downright miserable. Houston has that bright young running back in Arian Foster. Matt Schaub can throw the round to one of the best receivers in the game, Andre Johnson. It pains me, but I like the Texans here.
Washington. New England at the Jets. I'll take the Pats.
Yeah, I like the Pats here in this one. I think the Jets are a little full of themselves, and they're going to play a very confident Patriots team. I like the New England here.
Jacksonville at San Diego. I'll say the Padres come back.
Yeah, the Chargers, I think, bounce back after not being able to move the ball against a much improved Kansas City defense on Monday Night Football. I like San Diego.
Manning Bowl 2, Giants at Indy.
There's no way Peyton Manning and the Colts start the year.
I agree.
0-2. I like Indianapolis.
I like Indianapolis 34-24, the final. Remember that. New Orleans and San Francisco will go the Saints on the road.
Saints on the road big time. They might hang 45 on them.
There you go, Leon. Week number two of picks. Remember, you can email us your picks. Get some free ice cream, and you can just make we can just make fun of Leon when you beat him. Now, we're going to wrap things up, Oliver, but there was some audio, hidden audio that we have. This is on one of our weekend programs. I love this stuff. Final word, you have anything to say?
Unmitigated disaster is what you're about to hear.
It's Outside the Box. I'm Brisegs.
I'm Leon.
Hey, thanks. Next week, hopefully, we'll have our sports game show with Brad Savage and my mom, Mama Brisegs. Until then, hopefully we have a website that you can enjoy. It's Outside the Box. Have a good one.
Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show. Hi, good morning.
Hello, you there?
Good morning, are you there?
I can hear something in the background, but not...
Yeah, I can hear the radio.
Yeah.
All right, let's...
Hello?
Yay, good morning, how are you?
I can't hear you.
Oh, we can hear you loud and clear. Do you have a gardening question for us?
You there?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, this is Barbara.
Hey, Barbara.
Am I the one who won?
Yo, yeah. Did you call in last week?
Yes, I sure did.
Yeah, absolutely. You're the winner. You can stop back to the garden center. You've won a dwarf buddleia plant.
Well, I don't even know what that is. And that's the reason I wanted it. Yeah.
They're beautiful plants. It's a new variety that's come out called Lo and Behold, and it's a true dwarf butterfly bush. It stays low. You know, even the so-called dwarf ones that we have had have been kind of tall.
Yeah.
You know, they'd get up close to 6 feet or more.
Oh,
but
good.
These stay a lot shorter and bloom very, very heavily all through the summer and they're just great plants.
Yeah. Yeah, I said I wanted one of those, but I didn't know what it was.
Well, you are the big winner. You can stop out at the garden center anytime today, and it's been flagged. It has your name on it, and you can pick it up.
Yeah, I listen to y'all all the time, and a long time ago I won a lot of things, but I haven't won for a long time.
Well, that's good. We like winners.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.